Assalamu alaikum, guys. How are you doing? You're about to meet Marian. She's studying law at the University of Sarajevo in Bosnia. And she comes from a powerful tribe in Uganda. She was raised of a family of Christians, and she was a practicing Christian, and she got a hold of a book. A book talking about people's experiences and how they came to Islam. She accepts Islam, the persecution begins, her story begins, but it hasn't ended yet. And we're going to share it with you here on the Deen Show in Bosnia with Marian. It's an incredible story that we can all, inshallah, God willing, benefit from. Don't go anywhere. Assalamu alaikum, guys. So we got Marian, practicing Christian. She hated Islam, and the persecution begins. I can't begin to tell you. I'm gonna let her get into her story with Marian. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Can we start off the beginning of your journey? You actually hated Muslims, and you actually hated Islam. Let's start from there.
Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim now, and my journey into Islam started in 2010 Ramadan. I honestly, as I was growing, I never liked Muslims. I grew up from a community where they hate Islam so much, and from a family where Islam is never tolerated in such a surrounding. It was really, a dream for you to even think of becoming a Muslim in such a family. So I never liked Muslims, and I never even wished to talk to any Muslim at all in my entire life. But even though, aside the hatred I had for Islam, I always felt something deep down in me that I just like the dressing of the Muslim women. I like the hijab and other stuff that is done by the Muslim women. I just didn't like the religion per se, but just the dressing of the Muslim women. And being a Christian for some time, I had my own doubts about Christianity. Even though it wasn't really allowed for me to ask about those problems I didn't really like about Christianity, but deep down within me, I felt it wasn't right for us to do that. But that was the religion I grew up from, and it was hard to, comment negatively about those practices. I just needed more. I wanted more in terms of salvation. And alhamdulillah, Allah got me here now.
Now we're actually, if you guys didn't know, we're in Bosnia, right? You speak any Bosnian?
Kako sti.
Dobro, kako ste vi?
Dobro ti.
So your family comes from one of the most powerful tribes in Uganda?
Yeah, in Ghana.
In Ghana, and you were raised by a priest,
yes.
Was that right?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I actually wanted to be a subject of the church. So when I was growing, when I was 10 years, my parents actually gave me to the priest. I can stay with him and learn about the church more to become somebody who is connected to the church. So I was just going through these different phases of training to become somebody who is connected to the church. I was really a good singer in my church, and I used to lead the choir in my church also. I never missed Christian church activities. I never missed them. I was so devoted to Christianity to the extent that I never thought, I would become a Muslim, never. Even if Allah himself had, come to me to tell me you one day become a Muslim, subhanAllah, I wouldn't have believed it. It would have been hard to accept that. But those whom Allah guide to the right path, none can lead astray. Allah really wanted me in Islam, and He has brought me into it, alhamdulillah.
Now for you guys tuning in, you hear this word Allah, it's simply the name of God in Aramaic. Jesus spoke Allah, So for the not yet Muslims tuning in and they're just amazed, or they're about to be even more amazed by this story, when she's saying, Allah, this is just the Creator, God Almighty. Now tell us, Sister Maryam, how did things take a turn? At what point you went from hating Muslims? Because talk about, you know, the Muslims are supposed to be the best of examples. They're supposed to be those who are living Islam. They're really supposed to be at a higher level of morality, of, you know, of character, manners, and everything that is just, you know, the best. That, but tell us, what were you saying of Islam practice?
Honestly, if I had looked at the behavior of the Muslims that I saw, or the behavior of the Muslims in the society, I wouldn't have become a Muslim. I realized that Islam is not what people actually are talking about. There is, it runs deeper than that. There is something really about the religion that people who talk about it negatively do not know about. There is so much more into it than we see it outside. So I read a lot about the religion and I asked so much questions, and gradually it was, you know, pulling me from Christianity into the religion, which I couldn't accept initially, and I couldn't even believe it myself. But alhamdulillah, through my studies, I realized that everything I heard about Islam, all those misconceptions that I heard about Islam as I was growing, were all lies, and that was not exactly Islam. The Islam is real. The Islam is peace. The Islam that Allah has prescribed for us is beauty, is love, is tolerance, is obedience, is complete submission to Allah Himself. So it was kind of contradicting with what I actually knew, and it's turned my life upside down, you know, like it was like a clear cut for me to all of a sudden start to read about Islam and, you know, start to change my dressing and also act in a different way, receive people in a different way, feel differently, communicate to God differently. Everything just changed from hating Islam to loving Islam so much.
Tell us about that experience that happened. Your neighbor was a Muslim and you got a hold of a book called Why Islam.
It was in 2010, Ramadan. I finished my junior high school by then, so I was just at home doing nothing. And I just had this feeling that let me just, you know, read something about, I should just read something. So alhamdulillah, there was a man, a Muslim guy, who was staying in my house. I got a book from his room, which was titled Why Did They Embrace Islam? Which is a story of people who reverted to Islam, their struggles and their beliefs now. So I took the book and I literally read everything in that book. And I took the second book, which was about Hajj. And that night, I had a dream. And in the dream, there was a man dressed in a white jalbab with a calabash in his hand. And I was just squatting by the river, I mean, Zamzam, actually. So he mentioned the name Maryam, drink this water, it will purify your heart. And I looked at him and I was like, this water is for Muslims. I'm not a Muslim, so why would I drink this water? And he told me, actually, he didn't say anything when I asked him. He didn't. So I just took the water and I drank it, because my entire life I was always so concerned and interested in issues related to purification, religious stuff. So I took the water and I drank the water. So from there, we went to a different stage where they slaughter animals. So one man came with a boiled meat and he told me to eat the meat. The meat will make me stronger when I'm weak. I think in that particular dream, Allah was preparing me for whatever was going to happen in my journey to Islam, because naturally I was very weak. I had a very weak personality. So Allah, through everything, He prepared me spiritually through that dream, and it's manifested physically. So the next day I met the guy, and I was like, well, I had this dream, and you know, I was trying to explain whatever happened in the dream to him. And in his room he has his computer desktop with the 99 names of Allah, which were flipping one after the other beautifully. So I saw it, and subhanAllah, I couldn't believe that something so beautiful, such beautiful names, actually existed. So I got so much interested, and I went closer to read actually everything, all the 99 names of Allah. So I read them all, and subhanAllah, I just felt like something. I felt so heavy within me. I felt so heavy that I found something really. It's like, this is what my life is like, my life depends on. This is all I've ever been wanting to have, you know. So I took more books from him. I took really a lot of books, and I started to read about Islam. Unfortunately for me at that time, I didn't have Muslims as friends, so I decided to, you know, roam in the Muslim communities and find some Muslim friends and discuss with them about Islam, ask questions and get answers from them. So fortunately I got a lot of friends who helped me with my answers, and gradually I was moving on from one stage to the other with my studies about Islam. 3 weeks after my studies, I decided to revert to Islam, but I knew the consequences of my decision. Even though it was scary to me, and I was really young, I was just 15 years by then, to take such a decision, I couldn't, you know, just imagine taking such a decision, because where I'm coming from, Islam is like taboo, it's like an abomination, a big haram, you know, thing for you to ever do. So I just couldn't think of leaving Christianity to Islam. So gradually my activeness in my church was dwindling. I was not attending church as I used to attend, and I was not that active at my church anymore. So my parents got to find out that I was not attending church, and you know, they later on used to make sure I go to church, because they found out about what I was planning to do, and they were never ready to allow me to, you know, do that as a kid at that time. And it wasn't something that I just read and I wanted to practice. It was something that was weighing on me. I could feel it. I could feel really. It's hard to express this, to explain that feeling, you know. I could feel it deep down in me, that if I don't get this particular thing, I can't survive. I need this in my life in order to be able to survive, and that is Islam. So gradually I gathered my courage to tell my family that I wanted to become a Muslim, and that alone was like the greatest disaster in my home ever. It was a big shock and a surprise to everybody in the family. It was really hard for them to accept that. So my family after that tried to do everything possible to stop me from taking such a decision. They were thinking that it was something wrong with me psychologically, or you know, or maybe there is this superstitious belief that those Muslims who ascribe Islam with idol worshiping, you know, maybe they are actually using juju on me to think like that, to try to practice Islam, you know. But honestly, it was nothing like that. As we all know, in Islam there is nothing like idol worshiping. So it was just Allah who wanted to bless me with Islam. Sometimes I do ask myself, did I really do something to deserve Islam? But subhanAllah, because I never really thought of becoming a Muslim ever in my entire life. But alhamdulillah, it was a long struggle, and finally I took my shahada. And after my shahada, a whole lot happened. I went through a lot of difficulties, from family to friends, my church, my society, my school, and everything. It was really a tough time for me, but alhamdulillah, Allah saw me through it all, from hunger and thirst and being on the streets, I mean, struggling all alone, the loneliness, the emptiness, and the toiling, everything, alhamdulillah, it wasn't easy for me, and it's still not easy, but I think that there is pleasure in every difficulties that I went through in order to get Islam, and it's surely worth it.
Talk a little bit about the experience in the jungle. You talk about your experiences with your family, really, that had a great impact on you, but you still didn't give up. I mean, most people, when they would have got that kind of backlash, most people, they agree that there's nothing worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and earth. When you explain them, you know, the fundamental beliefs of Islam, it makes sense, it connects, it really connects. I mean, if you take a time out, if you're sincere, people will agree. People have a block when it comes to accepting this Trinity, God being a man, etc., etc. But the belief system in Islam, the theology, it just makes sense. But now, sticking to it, when the heat gets turned up, many people run. You got to be really courageous. You went through some just amazing, struggles beyond, you know, comprehension for some people, but you still held on.
I spent some time in the jungle with my family, my parents, because they wanted me to forget about Islam. They wanted to take me away from the society, from the people, so that I wouldn't be able to interact with the Muslims, to ask them about Islam and to practice the religion. It was the jungle. It's in the western part of Ghana. I went with both my parents, and we were staying there every day. They made sure there is this false priest who visits the jungle and comes to me and telling me all lies about Islam, about our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I would just stare at him. I mean, because I knew that everything he was saying was a lie about the religion. So I knew the truth I found, and I was never ready to allow anybody to corrupt it with any information of any kind. So before they took me to the jungle, I had this personal diary, which I wrote Surah Falak, Surah Ikhlas, and Nas in it, the transliteration. So I used to read it every time, even before I sleep. In 2010, Eid al-Fitr in my country was on Friday. So the night before that Friday in the jungle with my parents, I was reading those surahs before I sleep, and my dad heard it. It was really serious, incident that happened. He really wanted to shoot me at that particular moment, because he was not ready to accept me to bring this grace into the family. Because in my family, they see Islam to be like the greatest abomination somebody can ever commit. Like, you become like a stigma. You become shame for your family to accept you whilst you are Muslim. So for them not to live with that stigma of people, you know, they were not ready to accept me with my religion. So my dad wanted to shoot me, and my mom actually interfered to, you know, stop him. And alhamdulillah, they talked throughout the night, and for me, I was just a kid, 50 years by then. I didn't really bother about what was going on. So I slept, and the next morning, my dad actually called my family members in the city, and he told them, "We've disowned you. You are no more part of this family. You know, go and stay with the Muslims. Spend the rest of your life with them." You know, a whole lot, you know. It was a painful moment. I mean, I really I understood everything that they had to do during that time, because I don't know what I would have done if I were in their shoes, but I think every parent wished to see their children in the right place, and to them, I was actually at the wrong place. And just that, maybe the measures they used to direct me back to Christianity was wrong, but I think they love me and they care for me, and they wanted to see me doing the right thing. And since Islam is, you know, framed with all the negativity in the world, I mean, no parents would wish for their child to go to such an extent. So they tried, and alhamdulillah, my mom actually helped me. And after they disowned me that Friday morning, I found my way back to the city, and it was so painful that I didn't really know where to go. I was in a big city, but I didn't really know where to go. There is this Islamic center in my country, one suburb called Evian, and there is this Malam, he's called Malam Abdurrazak. I went to them, him and his friends, and they helped me really a lot. They helped me to stay with some people for a while, and later I had to go back to high school. The struggle in high school, the hunger, the test, the loneliness, I developed really huge stomach ulcer. And it was really, really frustrating because almost every 2 weeks I'll collapse in school and I'll be admitted at the hospital because of hunger. It was really hard time, but I was really active in school, so people could hardly find out I was going through that particular, you know, problems and all that. I used to keep things to myself because I didn't like to share my personal problems with anybody at all. And it was a school, it was an institution, so you don't have to think that somebody is going to sympathize with you and, you know, share your pains with you. They're just there to study, you know. So it was really hard, and later on my teachers found out about my reverse story and they decided to help me financially and also care for me, make sure I was okay. I finished high school with all the difficulties. Alhamdulillah, I finished high school and I went to university. And Alhamdulillah, even though being a Muslim within all these institutions hasn't been easy, because sometimes you feel like you need family. You feel like you need to talk to someone. When you are sick, you need to talk to your mother, because I'm the type that no matter how I fall sick, if I just hear from my mother, if I just hear her voice, I feel good. I just feel good all of a sudden. So it's really hard to live without family. I mean, because of faith, you know, it's hard. But I realized that my family is in this dunya, and if I miss this period and I follow my family and I don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah, my family cannot save me from the wrath of Allah. So with the help of Allah, I was able to make that strong decision for myself to stand and fight for what I believe in. It wasn't easy, really, for 16 years old to, you know, revert to Islam and leave her family, live life on her own, struggle up and down, you know, meet good people, bad people. I mean, spend some time, you know, falling sick, you know, and recovering everything. It wasn't easy. Supporting myself financially, taking care of myself without any parental care, you know, it was really hard. But I believe that anything that Allah takes from us, He will give it back to us in a better way. So I think that it was really a gift that Allah gave to me. And sometimes I do ask myself, did I do something to deserve Islam? Because I feel that it is the best thing that can ever happen to anybody. And after I became a Muslim, subhanAllah, I feel Islam in everything that I'm doing. I just sit down and I just look at everything and I see Islam in everything we are doing. I asked myself, if I hadn't had Islam, I mean, what would happen to me? Where would I be on the day of Qiyamah? What would happen to me? But Allah gave Islam to me, and now it has been my life. It has been my family. It has been my friend. It has been my everything. Islam is really not what people think it is. Islam is more than what people think it is. Islam runs through our veins. It runs through our minds. It runs through our actions, our speech, our dressing, our everyday life. There is Islam in it. But we rather, as humans, seek to ignore the signs of Allah in our lives, and we do not want to obey. But Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah for granting me Islam. Really, I'm grateful for Islam, and I feel that even though it's hard, but I feel like I'm the most happiest person in the world because I have Islam. Whenever I feel down, I think about the gift of Islam, and it brings me back on my feet. So I thank Allah so much for Islam, and really, Islam is not what people think it is. If really people knew what Islam is, nobody would ever criticize the religion because it's really so much peace and comfort.
Just a couple more questions, because you are right. Many people, they get the impression from the media that now, and that's understandable, the parent thinks that now you're going to be in some cult and extreme, and you're going to do some suicide attacks and terrorism. But obviously, when you really get to know Islam, it's the opposite. It calls you to be the best towards your parents, you know, not to even harm an animal, let alone a human being. So talk a little bit, just in a minute or so, we're almost out of time, about the teachings. What do you actually believe now, you know, from the theology, you know, to some of the daily practices? So maybe, who knows, maybe your parents, we can get this to them, and, you know, they will kind of, you know, that wall will come down, maybe Allah the Creator, because a lot of times there's these misconceptions that push people away, but when we let them know, look, your name, you're trying to follow Jesus's mother Mary, right? We love her. We love Jesus as a mighty messenger of God. So when people and Islam is just calling you to connect directly with God, not His creation, right? To worship the Creator, not the creation. So when they hear a lot of these commonalities, you know, their defenses come down and it opens some of their hearts. Can you elaborate on a few of these?
In Islam teaches us that our Jannah, our heaven, it lies under the feet of our mothers. And if you try to interpret that, it means we should love our mothers, we should respect our mothers, we should be obedient to our mothers, we should care for our mothers, we should do everything good for our mothers. And with that, if our mothers are happy, not just our mothers, if our parents are happy with us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also be happy with us. And when I was a Christian, sometimes I used to get confused as to whom I'm praying to. Am I praying to Jesus or am I praying to God, you know? And who is He, really? I mean, that time there is these contradictions all over, you know. You don't know, really, because you go to this church and this priest is preaching, maybe Jesus is God. And you're going here and they're like, Jesus is, you know, Son of God. You are just getting confused. So sometimes I used to get confused. I'm like, I don't know, whom am I praying to, you know? I just wanted something authentic, you know, that would direct me. You're praying to just God, you know, just God, you know. But alhamdulillah, now all those, you know, confusion is gone, because I know that I'm praying to just one God. And I feel like there is nothing blocking my communication with Allah. If I want to talk to Him, it's just straightforward, you know. If I want to ask Him for forgiveness, just straight. But when I was a Christian, I'm praying kind of through Jesus, you know. Even though that is not the Jesus that Islam, you know, talks about. The Prophet Isa, alayhi salam, he was a prophet of Allah. He wasn't the son of Allah, as I used to believe when I was a Christian. And to talk more, to talk a little about this negative perception about Muslims and ideas about becoming a Muslim. You know, if people, human beings, do not like something, regardless of how you make it beautiful to look to them, they still wouldn't like it. And that is how Islam is. And there is a miracle about Islam in such a way that Allah has made it so beautiful in the inside and on the outside. But it takes people who reflect, people who ponder, people who have a heart without, I mean, locks on it, to feel it, to see it, and to practice it. So you will only be able to feel this Islam we are talking about only if it is by the will of Allah. That is what I can say. You cannot feel Islam and you cannot talk good about Islam if Allah has not put the light of Islam in your heart. You only feel it when Allah helps you with it. Because it is only Allah who guides people to the right path. Who knows these people out there who attach negativity to Islam. Maybe one day these people are even reverting to Islam. Because a time will come that people will be reverting to Islam. And even now, people are reverting to Islam. And the most miraculous part about this is that most of these people who are reverting to Islam, they are the people who never liked the religion. They are the people who actually talked bad about the religion. But alhamdulillah, now most of them are reverting to Islam. And if you talk to them, you really feel that there is a spiritual understanding to what they are saying than the physical aspect. Even though Islam talks about physical and also inner part, but you cannot say you are practicing your religion just innerly, I mean internally. It has to reflect, and that is the problem the world is having with us now. Since we are practicing the religion exactly as Allah tells us to do, they find problem with it, and they see us to be like extremists, you know, terrorists, and you know, everything. But at the end, it is only the word of Allah which will succeed.
I want to thank you very much. May the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah, continue to bless you and ease your journey and reunite you with your family. Thank you for sharing your story with us here on Adisha.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Allah, la ilaha illallah.